All right, the light's back on. Oh, there I am. I tell you, well, happy Resurrection Sunday. And isn't it good to know that even when the sound doesn't work quite right and the microphone batteries die, that Jesus is still alive and well, and he's still Lord. Because I would tell you, that this morning when I got here, the internet was out. I'm like, oh. If ever there was a day we didn't need the internet to be out, it's today. So I restarted the old router, and it took a couple times of restarting it, but it finally did kick in. But we are glad that you're here today. We're glad that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn them to Matthew chapter 28. If you're a believer, this is a familiar passage. And this chapter is the reason why we celebrate Easter, is because last Friday we celebrated and remembered that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his innocent blood for my sin and your sin and the sin of all the world. And that's a marvelous and wonderful thing. But the thing about Jesus is, though he died, he did not stay dead. And that makes all the difference in the world and why any of us can have any hope. And so when we talk about the Easter message, we want to know, what did Jesus bring? Why does it make a difference? And I tell you that Easter changed the world like no other event in human history ever did. No other. Now, there's been a lot of impactful things that have happened even just since you've been alive. But whatever you think about what the most impactful event in your life has been, it does not come close to comparing to the event that happened beginning on that first Good Friday when Jesus gave his life, and then on Sunday morning when he wasn't dead anymore, he was alive. And we're going to see what does that matter, because you see, what I want us to leave this place this morning with, coming to this conclusion, it matters what you believe about Easter. And I tell you, that changes your life, and it gives your life direction no matter what choice you make. And so let's look at Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are seeking Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where Jesus lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will also see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' And so they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' And while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all of the things that had happened. And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this very day." What an amazing story that changed human history. It changed everything. We find some women, by the way, and it's interesting that it's these women, not his disciples, that are going to prepare the body, but these women whose lives had been radically changed and transformed by grace. Mary Magdalene, a woman that was very likely a prostitute and somebody that was looked down in society, didn't have a lot of friends, certainly wasn't high up on the social ladder, and yet Jesus had changed her life so completely. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus will meet any of us wherever we're at. No matter how we have failed Him, no matter what our past has been, because Jesus does not care about your past. He only cares about your future. Jesus cares more about your future than He does about your past, because He can erase your past. He can make you brand new. He can forgive whatever sins you've committed. When they're under the blood of Jesus, God remembers them no more. And so Easter morning, this resurrection morning, brought a lot of things. And the first thing that it does is it brings peace. As these women had come to Jesus' tomb to anoint His body, they weren't able to do it because, remember, it was the Passover on that Friday, and they had to hurry and get Him off that cross and in this tomb, and everything had to be done before sundown when the Sabbath began. And so they didn't have time to do things like they normally would have. And these women bring these spices and herbs. They're coming to pay tribute and respect to Jesus, the friend that they had, that they loved and cared for deeply. And when they got there, they saw that big, huge stone rolled away. And an angel, this man that they knew was an angel because he was like light. He was white and didn't look like normal. And he said, "Hey, listen, do not be afraid. I know that you're here looking for Jesus, but He's not here. Remember, He told you He wasn't going to be here. In fact, come look at where He was laid, and He's not there." In fact, one of the other Gospels writers tell us that as Jesus got up, He took those grave clothes and neatly folded them and laid them in the corner. So they make sure that it wasn't just a quick exit. It wasn't somebody stealing Jesus, but He wasn't dead, alive, not dead, just like He said. And that is what brings peace. You see, Jesus shed His innocent blood to pay my sin debt and your sin debt, because we all owed this sin. We're all guilty of sin. And the only price for it is sinless blood, and none of us have it. And so Jesus Himself came and He paid that price for us. And that's a marvelous and a wonderful thing. But the power of new life and the power of the resurrection is that Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead. So He paid our sin debt, which made payment for the sin debt that we owed, and gave us the ability to have peace with God. See, this world hungers for peace. And boy, we do not have to look far to find trouble in this world. By just watching the local news, there are very few days lately when the local news has not reported a death, or a shooting, or a stabbing, or somebody, some group fighting with some other group, and they're being violent. So we know all around the world there's lots of big places where there's major violence. And so, we keep hoping, and we talk, and, every leader, about election time, which we're in an election year, they talk about peace. They say, we're going to pass laws, and we're going to spend money, because we're going to all work toward peace. Well, I think if you ask folks, most people, there's some people that say, no, I really don't want peace. But most people would say, yes, I want there to be peace. But peace does not come by handshakes or money. The only way peace can come is by knowing the Prince of Peace, whose name is Jesus, that came to bring peace of all mankind to an almighty God. And so Jesus' resurrection brings peace to this world. Jesus, as He went through life, He talked a lot of times and often told His disciples, don't be afraid, have peace. Remember at Christmas time, we remembered from Isaiah chapter 9, where one of the titles of the Messiah was going to be Prince of peace. And Jesus is the one who brings peace. And so we look for peace in all kinds of different things. We look for it in status or in money or in stuff. And can I tell you something, and you probably found this to be true? None of those things really bring peace. In fact, some of the most miserable people on earth are some of the richest people on earth. Because money does not buy happiness. Money can buy stuff. But stuff is not what's missing in your life. Jesus came to bring peace, and peace is what we're searching for. And peace can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But here's the thing that, listen, we found Mary Magdalene, we find these other women that, you know, people would kind of go to the other side of the street if they saw him come by. They avoided him. But Jesus didn't. And it's a reminder to us that no matter what we've done or how far we've strayed away from God, that God wants to bring us peace with him. He wants us to know him. He knows us, by the way. He knows all the good, the bad, and the ugly, and yet he still loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. And so Jesus' resurrection brings peace. But another thing that Jesus' resurrection does is it fulfills a promise. You see, way back, even in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, when Adam and Eve sin in the garden, God pronounces judgment on the serpent and then on Adam and then on Eve. But even in the midst of that judgment, God promises that redemption is going to come. And then from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the rest of the Bible, it's God's unfolding story of how that story of redemption takes place. And so Jesus' resurrection was a fulfilled promise. Jesus told his disciples, and they misunderstood a lot of what he said. One thing they told him was they were walking by the temple one day. And he said, you know, this temple is going to be destroyed, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Well, it wasn't the temple that Jesus was talking about, that building. It was his body. And that's exactly what happened. Now, we all know the nature, the laws of nature, that things that are dead tend to stay dead. These Easter lilies that we've got, they're looking pretty good and blooming, but Leslie touched them yesterday, so before very long, they're going to die. And not just because Leslie touched them, because they're not made to last forever. And when they die, no matter how much miracle green we pour on that soil, they ain't coming back. Natural laws, things that are dead tend to stay dead, except when God intervenes. Jesus was fully 100% dead, but he also is now 100% fully alive and reigns at the right hand of God. Jesus told his disciples when he appeared to them again in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48, he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Lots of Old Testament scriptures talked about not only the coming of Jesus, but the work that Jesus would accomplish. And Jesus reminds his disciples when he reappears to them after he's been dead, he's now alive. He said, "Don't you remember that the scripture said these things and I told you these things?" What does that mean? It means that Jesus and his word and his work brings us an assurance that we can trust God's word. That when God gives a promise, he fulfills it. He keeps it 100% of the time. Human beings, we don't do that. Well, it's Easter Sunday, and probably some of you invited folks to church, and some of them showed up, and I sure am thankful they did. But I'm sure there were some of us that invited folks that said, "Oh yeah, I'll be there." My good, if everybody that told me, "Preacher, I'll be at church," showed up today, we'd have to get out folding chairs. We couldn't hold it all. But God isn't like that. When God says something, we can 100% trust that He will be true to His word. And so one thing that He brought was a fulfillment of a promise. And you can rest assured that Jesus said, "Hey, listen, my blood covers your sin." You can take that to the, you can trust that. Because the reality is, no matter how good you try to be, none of you are good enough to deserve heaven. None of you can be good enough to have favor with God. But having favor with God is not by how good you are, but where you stand with Jesus. And it's because of where you stand with Jesus is only possible because of Easter. It's only possible that not only did Jesus die to pay our sin debt, but then rose from the dead and is alive to give us victory and power over death, hell, and the grave. That Jesus literally did conquer those things and gives us new life. And that's a marvelous and a wonderful thing. Don't you agree? But here's the thing, is that Jesus' resurrection, lastly, calls for us to make a decision. You see, all of us have to do something with this event that changed history. And we find in this story some women and some men whose lives were radically transformed and changed because of the truth and the message of Easter. We also find some men who were bribed and didn't feel bad about lying and saying, "Hey, listen, the disciples came and stole Jesus' body away." They knew that wasn't true. In fact, the high priests knew it wasn't true. The leaders knew it wasn't true, but they didn't care because that truth wasn't convenient for them. And so what did they do? They bought their truth. But here's the thing, friends. Truth can't be bought. Truth is truth all the time, or it's not truth. If something is only true part of the time, it's no. If something is truth, then it's true for everyone and truth always. And so there were some men that made the decision that we're not going to acknowledge Jesus as Savior. We're going to take this money and we're going to pull a fast one on the world. There were soldiers also that stood at the feet of Jesus and watched Him die. And the Gospels record for us that that head centurion, as Jesus gave His last breath, uttered these words: "Surely this man is the Son of God." He acknowledged that. A thief on the cross acknowledged that. And so there have always been plenty of folks that denied the reality of the events of Easter. But denying the truth does not change the truth, does it? It's still the truth whether we like it or not. Sometimes, you know, we've got this new road in Rankin County, the West Rankin Expressway. Well, the politician said the speed limit on that road is 35 to 45. I hate that. I think that's stupid. It's called an expressway. I think the speed limit ought to be 55. But do you know how fast I drive most of the time on that road? I try to make sure I'm 45 because I know that our friends with the police departments like to patrol that road, and I don't really want to meet one of them. And so what do I eat? Yeah, I cannot like it, but hey, that don't matter. And if I'm going faster than 45, I'm going to get one of those blue light specials. And they're what a Pearl's finest, or Rankin County's finest, is going to come up behind me and say, all right, preacher, you knew better, I'm writing you a ticket. Say, well, I'm sorry, Sheriff, I don't like that law, I ain't got to follow it. You know what he's going to say? Here's your ticket, have a nice day. So our wanting or liking the truth does not, but we have to all make a decision about what we're going to do with the truth. Nobody can make it for us. Why, if it was up to me, everybody would have a relationship with God. Man, everybody would just be serving Jesus. And my goodness, it'd be almost like I would never have to preach on sin and never have to preach a convicting message because we all just always did what we were supposed to. But I know that's not the world we live in. That's not reality. But the resurrection of Jesus calls us to make a decision. And every one of us have to make that decision for ourselves. And so I challenge us and say, you know, as you leave this place this morning, it's great that you're here. I'm thankful that you're here, and I hope we'll see you again. We don't just gather on Sunday, on Easter. We'll be here next Sunday, too, at the exact same time. And it may very well be that we're a little bit more put together next week. It may not be. You never know. But here's the thing. Regardless of how put together we are, Jesus is still Lord. And the truth of the resurrection is still the truth. And the fact that Jesus Christ and the resurrection have been changing lives for 2,000 years or so, and he'll continue to do that. See, the great thing about God and his power is it doesn't wane. It doesn't get less and less the more it's used up. God still has the power to save today, just like he's had for many, many years. And Jesus can still change you, just as he changed me, and just as he's changed countless of other people. But the thing is, you have to make that choice. The preacher can't make it for you. Your grandmother can't make it for you. Your parents can't make it for you. Your Sunday school teacher can't make it for you. You have to make it for yourself. And friend, I hope you will. So I hope you'll ask yourself this question, you know, what did Jesus bring? What does the resurrection mean to me? What have I done with it? Has it really changed me? Now, one thing, this side of heaven, it will not make you perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian on this earth. We become perfect when we make it to heaven. And we don't have to wrestle with this world anymore. But the thing is, when we're here on this earth, if we're a child of God, we are growing. And we're becoming more and more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves, and less like this evil world. And so I hope God will say, you know what? We'll say to God, you know what? I've decided that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because of the truth of the resurrection, I can face whatever comes my way. And remember that Jesus said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And remember what we've talked about, the Easter message, Easter morning, proves God keeps his promises. And so when Jesus said, I'll never leave you, he means he'll never leave you. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, thank you that you are a gracious and a loving God. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That innocent blood that was shed paid my sin debt and the sin debt of all the whosoever, that whosoever would call upon you would not perish. But then that's not the end of the story, because Easter came, Sunday morning came, and that's when things really changed. Because the man that was dead was now alive. And he's still alive today. And what we do with him, the decision we make about the resurrection, directs our path and determines our eternity. So does this message bring peace and hope? I pray it does, Lord. I hope we have found that. There's one here today that doesn't know you and they've not made that decision. Will you help them today to make that decision? Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your grace. Friend, let's stand together. Let's sing this old hymn, Jesus Paid It All. And if there's a decision you need to make, we would love to pray with you.